Afternoon, gentlemen and lady. Hey, faithful dads, thanks for so much for showing up. I hope everyone had a great summer. And let's praise God for some cooler weather right now. Isn't it great outside? I am so pumped. Is that the right word? Super pumped, super excited. To bring up our speaker to kick off this next year of Fathers Forum speakers here at Northwest Bible. I've known Lee Jackson for, I think I've known Lee longer than my son's been alive, because I started mentoring down in Mercy Street, and then I got roped into coaching Little League. And Lee was facilitating all of that down at Mercy Street. But prior to that, Lee actually grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. And by God's grace, ended up at Mississippi Valley State University, where he played football and baseball. And I don't know if you know much about Mississippi Valley State, but they have a pretty storied football program there. A guy named Jerry Rice. I don't know if y'all have heard of him. He played there. Bill Walsh saw him on a highlights on a local newscast, said, "We got to draft that guy." And then there's a guy named Walter Payton that played running back there, and they cut him. So in their university's football program, it goes Jerry Rice, Walter Payton, and Lee Jackson down here. That's what he told me. I thought he was third, but he told me there's a lot of people in between. He played some baseball there as well. But God led him and his wife from Memphis, where they settled, to Dallas, where his wife had some family. And now they have three girls, ages 11, 9, and 5. And what's amazing is actually his 9-year-old is in the same class as my son at TCA. So they get to hang out with each other every day. So anyway, enough of the intro. Everybody put your hands together for Lee Jackson.
Thank you, brother. I'm going to start this clock because they know I'm on the short time limit, so I'm going to make sure I'm really quick. Before we get going, let's pray real quick so we can get it going. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, God, for who you are. We thank you for your grace and mercy. God, be with us as you open our eyes, use us in a mighty way to make an impact in this world. As a calling, you called us to be fathers. And so, God, I pray, God, that you will use us to impact our families, our neighbors, our community, our schools, and everywhere we touch. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So as I was scrolling through the Word and I was going, man, what am I going to talk about? I started looking at one guy who wanted to be a father, who ended up having a calling, but his wife was barren at one point in time, and then he ended up taking matters in his own hands and said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get you, my maidservant, and then I'm going to sleep with you and get a son. And then next you know it, God shows back up and go, hey, I told you I was going to bless you with a son. The promise was going to go through you and your son. So guess what? Here you go. At an old age. And so we're going to talk a little bit about Abraham. But before we really get in Abraham, when you talk about being a dad, all I knew was I had 12 years with my father. That was it, 12 years. After my 12 years with my dad spent $5,518,800 minutes in a cell block. He spent 10 and a half years. So when you're looking at time, and I know we got time, people got phones, people got watches. I remember back in the days we didn't have phones. So you ask everybody, hey, what time is it? What time? Do you know what time it is? The other time was if the sun goes down and the street lights come on, it was time to go in the house. You know, when we came home from school, we was racing to get home so we can run outside. But now the kids they come home. They do their homework, but they race home to watch TV, play video games, or get on the computer. And so a lot of times we don't go as dads to go, hey, I don't rush home sometime to go spend time with my kids or spend time with my wife. I don't rush home from work and like, hey, you know what? It's 4:55. Soon as it's 59:30 seconds, I'm gonna be heading out the door no matter what I got going on at work. I can let it go tomorrow. I'm spending 8 hours. So if I'm spending 8 hours and if I get 1,440 minutes in a day, guess what? I can spend majority of that with my wife because 8 hours I'm spending it here at work with somebody else that's not my family. But then you look around and go, hey, I got girls, and we go to TCA, and we drive from Duncanville. So I'm on the road for 3 hours. So I'm on the road for 480 minutes in the car. And I go 480 minutes out of a 1,440 minutes a day. I'm going, man, I only got like almost 1,000 more minutes or less than 1,000 minutes left in my day to spend. So is my time important? Is every second I get important? Because I want to make sure I find time to be valuable and impactful. Because if I can be impactful, and I can use that time to pour into somebody else or spend time with someone and encourage them, then it feel like I did my job, because we all got a start time. We just don't know our end time. Our clock is running. My dad's time ran out. When he did his 10 and a half years in jail, it ran out. And I never seen him on the side outside of some bars. And I wonder, okay, if we don't know our day, because the word says we don't know the time of day, so we don't know if we're old or if we're young, but we just know our time is still ticking. And if our time is ticking, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to impact our neighbors? Are we going to impact our family? I got three little girls and a wife to look after and spend time with. So I have to rush out. I got to be willing to do what God called me to do. And so looking at Abraham, we know that God gave him a promise. We know that, you know what, in chapter 21 in Genesis, he goes, hey, here's Isaac. Isaac's on the scene. But I want to get to the point where it gets really tough when in chapter 22 of Genesis, when God goes in and say, hey, this is what I really want you to do. I want to see if your heart really minds. Are you really faithful? Do you really trust me? And starting in verse 1, going all the way to verse 12, it said, now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Now, I'm going to skip down because it's talking now. We're going to go through the journey of him walking, going to the mountain to figure out where I'm going to do. And then as we pick up, in verse 9, it says, then they came to the place of which God has told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him at the altar on the top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God. And since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And there was a ram in the bush. Sometimes in our time, because that had to be a long minute. That had to be a long walk as they go in, and Isaac was saying, Dad, you know what? where's the lamb? Like, where are we going to sacrifice? You know, what are we going to sacrifice? God will provide. But then when he bound them up and got everything set up at the altar and laid them on the altar, then you're going, that had to be a long 10, 15 minutes time of him thinking, Lord, please help me. Because I just can't imagine sacrificing my kids. I can't imagine putting one of my girls on the altar and then grabbing the knife and getting ready to do it. I mean, he had to be going really slow to kind of go, hey, I'm holding back tears and everything. But you know what? Sometimes we sacrifice our family all the time. We sacrifice our time that we spend with our family by going to do work or going to do this or going to do that. And we miss those moments with our kids because sometimes we never know if we're going to get that moment back. We don't know in our last day. We don't know that last time that when we're supposed to get in front of our kids and give them a hug and say, I love you, I care for you. I cherish the time and the moments with you. That's what we got to look at. That's what we got to watch. And so we know the rest of the story. It was a ram in the bush and everything, and they come back and you're good. But I wonder what that conversation was like as they was coming back down the mountain. And Isaac going, Dad, you was about to sacrifice me. But Abraham was waiting. He was willing to go as far as he needed to go to see a miracle. And that's what we got to do. We got to be willing to go as far as we can go to see God's miracle in our life. We invest in our babies, our sons, our daughters. We invest in them. We spend that time and that quality time with them. And we show them how to read the word. And we train them how to study the Bible. And we train them how to build relationships with others. To see them go, hey, let's see the miracle, what God's going to do through you as I pass it through. As I pass on to God's word. As I do what God's called me to do. God has called me to make disciples. I have to start in my own home to make a disciple. If I got them right here, I'm going to start here as well as I go out. So let's not miss what's at home. One of my favorite artists, he made a song up, and I wasn't going to play the song, but I'm going to read just a couple words. It says, I'm going to make a change for once in my life. It's going to feel real good. It's going to make a difference. It's going to make it right. And then he started talking about, as I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, the wind's blowing my mind. As I see kids on the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind pretending not to see their needs? Now, if you realize that's Michael Jackson's song, Man in the Mirror. As he talked through the man in the mirror and talking about it, he has to reflect himself. He's saying, I'm going to make that change. Today, we got to make that decision to make that change, to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to be the change maker in my family so my kids can see me as being an example so they know what to look for and know how to carry themselves and how to walk, how to carry themselves before others. Make the change because you know why? When they see your reflection, they should see God's reflection. And if they see God's reflection and then they see you and you, and as they walk, guess what? Others see God's reflection in them. Because I wanted to be just like my dad. I'm the only male in my family that never went to jail. The only one. My father was great. He was a pipe fitter. He worked. He had money. I was getting allowances, everything. It was like we were rich in the neighborhood I grew up in, though we were poor. But when he went to jail, my mom didn't have a job. And because my mom didn't have a job, she couldn't pay the bills. And when she couldn't pay the bills, they put us out of our apartment. They put us out of our apartment, and I lived in the shelter for a while. But I walked the streets at 13 and 14 because I played sports. But my dad was always around with me, watching me, taking me to games. So I knew sports was all I had at one point. But when he went to jail, and I did not have that, I had no direction. I had no one to look at to say, hey, I want to be like you. I didn't have anyone to go, hey, teach me how to be a man. Teach me how to change a tire. Teach me how to love my wife when I become a husband. Teach me how to be a dad when I have children. I didn't have that. It's a lot of men that's out here in this world today that are looking, wanting to learn how to be a father. There are a lot of young men, young boys that's out here looking for a father figure. Each and every one of you guys can be that. If you use the word as go and make disciples of all men, don't be scared to go to Samaria. Don't be scared to hang out in Judea. Make sure you take care of home and you take care of everybody else. It's an opportunity every time that you see someone to make an impact. Because you know why? Time is ticking. We don't know when that person, this is their last time, and we don't know when it's our last time. But we know in that moment we have time to share God's love, to share God's truth, and to be a blessing, to be willing to go farther enough to make a sacrifice, to see God's miracle. Let me pray for us. God, as we reflect on just our lives, as we reflect on the time that you give us, we don't know how long it's going to be, but we pray, God, that we make an impact on everyone we come in contact with. People need help. People need to see you. People need to feel that love, and they need hope. And so, God, I pray that you empower us, use us in a way that brings you glory for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.